Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace be unto you. Welcome each of you to Ignite, our weekly broadcast centered on infusing you with the Word of God, inciting His power, and provoking His passion within you. Our desire is that our broadcast will establish growth, new zeal, and God's purpose for your life. This is Pastor Lakeisha Camp Grant, founder of A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and I will be your weekly infuser. I am delighted at the opportunity to usher you into the best part of your life. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Ignite. This is Apostle Lakeisha Grant, and I am the founder and the senior pastor of A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. We are located in the, well, presently, kind of chilly and rainy city of Richmond, Virginia. If this is your first time joining our broadcast, we invite you to go to our website at www.ditrministries.com just to find out some more information about who we are, get connected with us. If you go to our website, it will direct you to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our YouTube page, all of those places in which you can stay connected with A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. Listen, guys, before we even get started on today, I just want to share this. I'm going to share this at the beginning of the broadcast, and I'm also going to share it at the end of the broadcast. If you live in the Northeast area, if you are in on the East Coast, or you are in the area where the storm is impending, listen, guys, this is what I want you to do. I don't want us to be so super-duper spiritual and so super-duper deep, and we want to rebuke the storm or send it back or whatever the case may be. I want us to use wisdom. Amen. So I want you to go out, and I want you to get the essential things that you need for your family. Amen. Go and get water. Go and get, if you need toilet paper, you need tissue. If you need some food, you need some canned goods. Do you have candles? Do you have batteries to go in your flashlights? Different things like that. Listen, do you have a first aid kit in your home, which I need to get one myself, actually. So these things we need to have, guys. And I know the Lord, He does provide. The Lord, He does protect. And we thank God for His divine protection. But I also thank God for common sense. And even if the storm does not come, those are the things that we should have in our home on a regular basis. These are things that I've been speaking about this, me and my husband, we've been talking about this for a while, about getting ready for any type of impending situation that could happen. We can't be so super, super deep that we don't realize that the world around us is going on and they have their own agenda. And so we need to be able to protect ourselves and protect our family, even when the world is going on with their own agenda. We want to be able to feed our own families. We want to be able to care for our families and protect our families and all of the things that we need to have. Amen, if something was to happen. Glory to God. And I know a lot of times we don't think about that as the body of believers. Amen, because we just think Jesus is just going to come and swoop us up and take us on off to glory. But until we go on to glory, we got to live on this earth, and we need to use the wisdom of the Lord to be able to live here. So if you are experiencing this storm and it's impending and it's coming to your area, go out to go to the store, amen, on tomorrow, the early part of tomorrow, if you're able. If you got to go to work, run out on your lunch break, run to the grocery store, get your couple of canned goods, get your couple of things to make sure that you're okay. It doesn't matter if it's one day. We assume that it's going to be one day. We don't really know what the Lord is going to do. You know, think about it from this perspective. We can't be double-tongued. Many people are proclaiming the United States is under judgment. The United States is under judgment. And then we flip with the same mouth and say, oh, Lord, we just cover us, just protect us, or we're rebuking the judgment that is to come. And I'm not saying that that's what the case is, but I'm saying we don't know what God is going to do. We don't know the movement that the storm is going to take. We don't even know what's coming within the next couple of months, all kinds of things that they're trying to talk about. This is coming and that is coming. And, of course, we can't live our lives in fear, but we can live our lives with common sense. Amen. So I want you all to do that, especially my ladies. Amen. If you're single, amen, I don't want you to be sitting around the house and you don't have the things that you need. Go get you some candles. Go get a flashlight. Go get you some food. Go get you some water. Make sure you got your charge and everything charged up. Make sure you got that person that you can contact, that people that you can contact, and you can get to them quickly if you need to leave your home. Amen. And so that was just my two cents on that. I'll share that again at the end of the broadcast because I want to make sure that we're all safe. Amen. During this entire season. Amen. We're coming into the season of the hurricanes. We're coming into the season of the snowstorm. And if the snow was anything like it was last year, we need to be prepared. Amen. We need to have some essential things in our home. So if our electricity goes down because the wires freeze over or whatever the case may be, we can be ready. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Nate. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and get started and open up in prayer this morning. This afternoon, and then we're going to get right into our word. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this afternoon, Lord, and we thank you, oh God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for everything that has transpired in this day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you continue to pour upon our lives. This afternoon, Lord, we come ready to hear what you have to speak to us on today. We come with our hearts and our spirit ready to be empowered, ready to be infused, ready to be pushed to our next place of purpose and our next place of destiny. We lay aside every weight of the day that so easily beset us. We lay down all of the cares of this world, and we set our minds on hearing the instruction from you. Speak, Holy Spirit, like you've never spoken before. Encourage our hearts. Rebuke us if you need to instruct us, because we need that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. You all know on last week we have we're in Deuteronomy. We started in chapter 27 on last week, and so this week we're going to pick up and we're going to move to chapter 28, Deuteronomy 28. I'm trying to. I think I remember going over all of the laws on last week, everything from Deuteronomy 27. But I think what I did was I think I got the gist of it because I had some really, really heavy notes on the parts that I really hit on last week. And so if we did not complete it or wherever we stopped at, amen, I want you to go back and read Deuteronomy 27 and all of the curses. Amen. And I think we stopped at, I don't know if we stopped at the one, cursed is anyone who has sexual relations with an animal, cursed is anyone who sleeps with his sister. And I think we went over all of that, and that is important. The Lord, as the Lord was speaking, amen, to Moses, and he was giving the law to the people. It was essential that the people grab a hold of the law, and that's why when you read this text, when you go back and you begin to read this text, you're going to see that the elders or the Levites are releasing the word, and what the people are doing after the word is being released is they are confirming the word by saying amen, or they confirm, this is what the scripture says, then all the people shall say amen. And so once the word was released, once Moses released the curses, or he gave the decree of the curses, then the people would accept the word by saying amen. And so what they were saying was in the text was that they heard what the Lord had said they could and could not do, and their amen was a selah. It was an agreement to the word, and so, or to the curses. And so, like I stated before, when we were speaking of the curses on last week, they were not per se curses that were implied or impressed upon the people, but these were the things that could be done that would institute a curse being established over a life. And so what the Lord is saying is, if you did not want the curse to be over your life, do not participate in the activities that were listed in Deuteronomy 27. And so we have discussed the things in which were done that will impose curses upon our lives. Now we're going to look at the life we can have if we choose to obey or disobey the covenant. Now, we have to remember, and I want you to understand this from the perspective of when we begin to talk about, or when we talked about the curses on last week, the reason it was important, or the text said that the people responded by saying amen was that it established a covenant. So that means there was a place of agreement on both parts. And so what the Lord is saying is just when you make an agreement with me, I'm going to hold up my end of the deal, and you have to hold up your end of the deal too. And so then when we move into Deuteronomy 28, he begins to talk about what is going to come upon your life when you make the decision to hold up your end of the deal. He's saying in Deuteronomy 28 that there are blessings that are going to come upon your life if you keep your end of the deal, and there are also curses that will be imposed upon your life if you do not keep your end of the deal. Amen. So I'm going to start right at Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. And the Bible says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" Now, many of us, when we read the Bible, we read it from a metaphoric stance. Now, I know I have over the last, since I've been saved, when I read the Bible, I read it from a metaphoric stance. I read it metaphorically or spiritually. So especially when we're reading the Old Testament, we read it from the understanding that these were a people, and that those were the people who were privileged to be to have this relationship with God. And then what we do is we come in on the back end in the New Testament, and we operate with the mindset of being just glad that we got engrafted in. So I asked the question because this is going to help us understand this text. What I don't want to do is I don't want us to look at these blessings and curses from a metaphorical standpoint or for a spiritual standpoint just yet. I want us to look at it with literal eyes. So let me ask you this. Have you ever asked the question, who are these people now? When we talk about the people who were in the Bible, when we talk about who Moses was talking about, when we talked about who Abraham dealt with, when we talked about who David dealt with, when we talk about who Joshua dealt with, when we talk about the people who were in the Bible, if we were to even talk about the people in whom Jesus had issue with, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who are these people? And well, we're not going to speak to the Sadducees and Pharisees because they are different people, but we're going to speak to those whom the Lord said belonged to him in the Old Testament. Have you ever asked the question, who are these people and where are they now? Now, it's easy for us to say that these people are in the present-day Israel. Well, when I began to do some research on the present-day Israel, Israel was founded May the 14th, 1948. So are the people who live there, are they really the people in which our Bible and the Old Testament are speaking of? Now, we know that the people that the Bible is talking about, they didn't die off. They didn't just fade away. They didn't just go away, because if we were to look in Revelation chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, it gives a very detailed roll call of who from the 12 tribes will be sealed in the last days. And then it goes on in verses 9 and 10. It describes a different set of people. So it talks about the 12 tribes, and then it talks about another people, a multitude of people. Now, those would be the people who we would consider to be the people who were engrafted in, amen, who came into the new covenant when Jesus Christ came, amen. Glory to God. And so it describes, again, these people. Now, it still put a question mark over my head, because when I begin to read Revelation 2 and 9, the scripture says, it says, "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan." Then Revelation 3 and 9 goes on to say, "I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." So when we begin to look at these blessings and curses, again, I don't want us to just look at this just spiritually or metaphorically. I want us to understand this figuratively, because this is speaking of a people that exists right now. This is not speaking of a people who were once before, but we are their spiritual ancestors. No, this is talking about a lineage of people, a bloodline of people, a sect of people who lived before and who still live now. They have to live now if the book says in Revelation, he's going to come back and get them. Hallelujah. And so when we begin to understand that, it gives us a different perspective on how we can look at the Deuteronomy 28. Because what I want us to see is I want us to find ourselves in the text. Because the text is not speaking from a distance. The text is speaking at a very close up, intimate place to all of us, amen, who are listening. Now, in a long going saga of having access to blessings, watch this, we have been trapped into accepting a curse, okay? We will never be able to fully engage from the curses if we cannot fully understand who these curses are from or who these curses speak to from a natural and a spiritual perspective. Amen. So what has happened is there were natural curses released on us that has kept us in spiritual bondage. So I'm going to say that again. Natural curses have been released over a people and have kept them in spiritual bondage. What am I saying? What I'm saying is I need us to begin to understand this from the perspective of who you are in the text and not from just the spiritual aspect. Who are these people that this scripture is talking about? Who are these people that has God's heart? Who are these people who had the blessings spoken over their life but found themselves living in a cursed place? Now, I'm going to go to Matthew 15 and 24 because what I really want to do, I have to solidify my case so that nobody is thinking I'm going off on a tangent. She's talking all that old stuff. I don't know, but I want us to look at the text from the perspective is this is not far off. And I think we have been looking at the scripture from a distance. And we have not intimately engaged ourselves with the scripture to say, God, who are you talking about? God, who are these people? You know, I think I begin to study like this because I begin to ask the question of the Lord, God, how come it's only one kind of people in the Bible? Where are the other people? You made all of these different kind of people. Where they at in the Word? And I begin to ask the hard question, and it's something that we don't like to deal with as a people, as a nation. We don't want to deal with color. We don't want to deal with race. We don't want to deal with ethnicity because it's a taboo thing. But it's not a taboo thing because the key to what I'm sharing with us on today is if we can understand who we are in this text, if we can find ourselves in this text, then the things that has plagued our culture for generations can be broken because we can identify those places in which we are cursed. Amen. You know, what I realize is sin and curses are two different things. See, we can repent from sin and we can go on with our life, but you cannot repent from a curse. A curse has to be broken. No matter how much you repent from the sin of a curse, the curse is never going to come off of you until it's broken off your life. God, I know I just said something. No matter how much you repent for the sin of the curse, until you break the curse off of your life, you're still going to be in the curse. So no matter how much we have found ourselves as Black Americans or whatever the case may be, or as Black Americans, as long as we find ourselves in a position of we got money, we got all of these different things, but the curse of the mindset is not broken. The curse that came upon us was never broken, and so we are not changing anything. We just shifting some things around instead of dealing with the curse that has plagued our culture for decades, for centuries, thousands of years, so that we can come back and get in right standings with our Father, amen, and begin to live a productive life as citizens on the planet, amen. Amen. And this is something a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it's real. If we can't deal with our own issues as a people, then we can't expect anybody else to deal with our own issues. And when we look back in the Bible, Our issues are written in this Bible, and if the only way we're going to know how to break out of it is to pull out the root, find out where this came from, and then find out how we can directionally get to the place that God can pull us out. Amen? So if I go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, the scripture says, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, this was a woman, a Gentile woman, amen, who came and was having a conversation with Jesus, and she was begging for Jesus, amen. She wanted the blessing. And Jesus said, listen, I didn't come for the Gentiles. I didn't come to get you out. I came for a specific type of people. And I shared this earlier today. I was doing a Periscope earlier today, and I shared on Periscope on today that what happened when Jesus came during that time, Jesus came with a campaign. Amen. He had a campaign, and his campaign was to free those who were oppressed. He had the same campaign that Moses had. He had the same campaign that Abraham had. He had the same campaign that David had, that Joshua had. It was the campaign to free the people who were oppressed. Amen. And when he came and presented the campaign, this woman was one of the people that caused him to change his campaign. God help me. This woman caused him to change his campaign because he realized it wasn't just her. Hallelujah. Even though he told her, lady, I didn't come for you. I came for a different kind of people. This was a pivotal point in the ministry of Jesus Christ because it changed his campaign. He went from coming from one sect of people to changing his mind and say, you know what? There are some people who want to be on Team Jesus. There are some people that want to know my Father. There are some people who are not from my fold who want to know about my Father. And so who am I to limit them, amen, from getting the goodness of grace, the goodness of mercy, if they want it, if they believe? So then he had to widen his scope of his campaign to say, all who believe can come on in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then that goes on to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This was the mandate that was given. Once Jesus changed his campaign, his slogan went from being different. His slogan went from, I'm about that Israel life, to I'm about everybody's life. Amen. It wasn't just one particular life matter. It was all lives matter. Amen. Jesus was the first one that came up, amen. He started first with the Black Lives Matter. God, I feel like talking tonight. Black Lives Matter with the lost sheep of Israel statement, and then he changed his campaign, and he said all lives matter when we get to Matthew 28 and 19, amen. And then, amen, when we go to Mark chapter 16 and 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Everybody has the ability to hear the gospel. Glory to God. So what am I saying to all that? That the scripture or the gospel is not is not like a club. It's not just inclusive, but it's inclusive of everyone. But there is an exclusive set of people who made an agreement with God, who have a special pact with God, that when he comes, when Jesus comes, he's going to be looking for them first. And in order for those people, amen, to reclaim their place with Christ, amen, they're going to have to identify themselves. We're going to have to identify ourselves. So let's go, amen, to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to look at the blessings on today. So because when we talked about on last week, we talked about the curses. Don't do this. Moses gave a decree to the people. Don't do this. Don't do that. You're going to be cursed if you do this. You're going to be cursed if you worship idols. You're going to be cursed if you sleep with your mother-in-law. You're going to be cursed. What else did he say? Let me go back and look. It was a whole bunch of them. You're going to be cursed if you sleep with your father's wife. You're going to be cursed if you have sex with an animal. You're going to be cursed if you kill or you bribe to kill an innocent person. You're going to be cursed if you lead someone that's blind astray. You're going to be cursed if you steal somebody's land. He went on and on about all of these things. If we do, we find ourselves being cursed for. And then he goes on in Deuteronomy 28 at the beginning. He said, but if you abide by the law and you don't do any of these things, then you can live in abundance. So Deuteronomy 28 begins with, it says, the first verse says, if you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Okay, so what he's saying here is obedience is better than sacrifice. What he's saying here is if you want the benefits of the blessings, then you have to be obedient to my word. You have to be obedient to me. Now, this is the thing. Jesus came for the propitiation of our sins. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He extended grace. But at the end of the day, this text still reigns supreme in our life, that obedience is what God is looking for. He's not so much looking for our works or for us to be a great wonder, but he's looking for our obedience. Amen. He's looking for our obedience, and he's looking for us to be obedient to him. Glory to God. And so I don't want to skip over that. I want to, because that's very important, because a lot of times people think because Jesus came, once you get saved, that's it, honey, I'm good. But we think we can do whatever we're big and bad enough to do. No, 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 no. This never changed. Obedience to God never changed. It's never going to change. It is going to be what we carry throughout the days of our lives. Amen? And so then he says, if you are obedient, these are the things that are going to happen to you. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. What does that mean? That means you're going to be blessed in your familiar territory, and you're going to be blessed in an unfamiliar place, meaning that he's going to send favor. Watch this. Proverbs 3 and 4 says this. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of a good man. But let me go back, because I had to read the text ahead of that. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Amen. So if you're kind, amen, if you operate in truth, amen, then you will receive favor. Amen. And the scripture says in verse 3, you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the country, you'll be blessed everywhere you go. Amen. Everywhere your foot treads shall be blessed. That's what the Lord is saying. Amen. We decree that over ourselves all the time, but this is the key. This is going to bless you, because I just got this just now. If this is a blessing for the obedience, then we should not have to make that decree over ourselves, because we should already walk in it if we're obedient. So the question then is posed at this point: if we have to make that decree over ourselves, where do we get lost at? Because this is something. If we are obedient, we don't have to do anything else but be obedient. These things are going to automatically come. So when we go out and when we do X, Y, and Z, when we make these decrees over ourselves, hallelujah, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the hill, I'm blessed wherever my foot shall tread. You're already blessed. You don't have to make a decree over yourself if you're obedient. If we find ourselves having to make that decree because we're not blessed, then we have to check our obedience walk. Amen. I'm talking about finding ourselves, and not just now. What I want you to do, because a lot of times, again, when we look at the scripture, we look at it internally, but we don't look at it. We look at it internally, but not intimately. So I want you to look at it from a perspective of you as an individual. Then I want you to back up off it again, and I want you to look around you, and I want you to look at things that go on around you, things that you see that are happening in the news, things that has transpired with your mama, things that have transpired with your dad, with your aunties, your uncles, your grandparents, you know, about the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Do you find yourself struggling in poverty all the time? Amen. And that means that there's a place in our genetic line, that there was a place of disobedience. Maybe you're living right. Come on, help me, Holy Ghost. Maybe you are living right, but maybe somebody that came ahead of you walked in a place of disobedience. Amen. And so now you cannot be blessed in the city, nor can you be blessed in the country. So that's what I'm teaching on tonight, that we can't just look at it from the dim eyes of just me and mine. No, but we need to look at it from a bigger scope of our intimately as for us, then look at it as a family thing, and then look at it again from a cultural thing. Hallelujah. And then the scripture goes on to say in verse 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your flock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock. So what does that mean? That means your family is going to be blessed and your secular assignments are going to be blessed. So the fruit of your womb will be blessed. That means those things in which you give birth to. Now, when I look at that from natural eyes, amen, those are our children, amen, those we give birth to in the spirit, those we give birth to in the natural. But then I can flip that around and I can look at it from this perspective. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Those things in which God, those creative ideas in which God gives to us, amen, there is a womb, there is a spiritual womb in us that God impregnates us with purpose. And when we are obedient to God, when we give birth to our purpose, the scripture right here says in verse 4, it will be blessed. So this is the question. If we are impregnated with purpose and our purpose keeps finding we keep finding ourselves spiritually aborting our purpose, we keep finding ourselves having spiritual miscarriages and things are not being produced in our lives, then we have to go back and ask the question intimately as a person, individually. Then we have to look at it from the scope of our family. Then we have to step back even further and look at it from the scope of a culture. What is causing us not to be productive? Amen. What is causing the fruit of our womb not to be blessed? And then it says the crops of your land and the young of your livestock. Amen. Those things in which God has released you to do. Amen. The crops of your land. So these are not so much of the things that you give birth to, but these are the things that you plant in the ground. These are things that you go out, you set out to do. Amen. Maybe you work at a secular job or whatever the case may be. Maybe, hallelujah, you work for somebody else. But the thing about it is, it's still a crop. Amen. God has given you a portion. He's given you a portion to work. Amen. And it will be blessed. Glory to God. And then it goes on to say the calf of your herds and the lambs of your flock, all of the things in which we set our hands to do will be blessed, with the caveat or with the expectation that we are obedient. Amen. And then verse 5 says, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. What does that mean? That means our pockets. Amen. The basket, those things that hold the blessings, those things that hold what we produce, those things are going to be blessed. Amen. That goes back, amen, to sometimes when we find ourselves having the spirit of poverty. Glory to God. It didn't just happen, hallelujah, one generation back. The spirit of poverty is a generational thing. Glory to God. It's a generational curse that many have found themselves in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Many have found themselves trapped in the place of poverty. But again, look at it. Look at it individually. Look at it from the family aspect. And then I want you to pull back even further and look at it as a culture. That even our culture, even though we appear to have it all together, amen, we are the culture, especially the black culture. We are the most consumers on the planet. We consume more than we produce. Hallelujah. That means we go out and we buy more Jordans. We go out and we buy more cars. We go out and we buy more flat screen TVs. We go out and we buy the newest phones. We buy the newest shoes. We buy the newest clothes. We are consumers. Hallelujah. So we cannot be blessed if we are consuming everything and we're not producing. Amen. And so what this tells us is this means, amen, this goes right back, amen, to verse 4. It says the fruit of your womb will be blessed and the baskets, amen. Amen. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. That thing in which you place to hold on to, amen, so that you can have something for later. Hallelujah. Your kneading trough. Amen. What you produce with, that what you produce with is going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Now, again, this is contingent upon our obedience. We're looking at this personally, because see, it's easy to find ourselves in the text personally. Yeah, that's me. And then we can even pull back a little further and say, yeah, that's me. That's my grandma. That's my great grandma. That's my mama. But then to look back and look at this text from a cultural perspective, I want you to look at how we as a people, how we could benefit from this, or how it seemed like we could have the blessings. Amen. But because of situations and circumstances, we're not walking in this. Now, when we get to the curses, well, you're really going to see where this thing hits home run. Amen. And then he goes on to say, and the scripture goes on to say in verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. What does that mean? That means no bad blood. Oh, my God. We won't be hating on each other. We won't be stabbing each other in the back. See, God, I love that. There is a blessing, amen, that comes when your heart stays in the right place. When God can bless you, then your heart can stay in the right place, and you're not trying to steal from people. You're not trying to undermine from people. You're not trying to backbite on people. You just want to love them. There is a blessing that comes. And he said, you're going to be blessed when you come in. Amen. Blessed when they see your face. And they're going to be happy when you leave, but not happy from in the sense of I'm glad that sucker gone. but glad in the sense of, wow, what a blessing to have met them. What a blessing to have been in their presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then verse 7 says, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but free from you in 7. That means the chaos that someone or people try to bring you will be given back to them. Hallelujah. That means when people try to pull you into chaotic situations, when people try to bring drama and chaos and all kinds of foolishness and negativity to your life, the scripture says when you are obedient, when you stay obedient to me, I'll handle it for you. I will be, amen, I'll be your battle axe. I will be the one who is going to vindicate you. I'll be your vindicator. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then verse 8 goes on to say, it says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to do. The Lord your God will bless you and in the land he is giving you. So that means, that right there, that tells me, amen, that when we are in, when we live in obedience, now watch this. Now I'm going to take it back to a cultural stance. We've been saying for years and years and years, we want our, what you call it, a mule, 40 acres in a mule, 40 acres in a mule. But listen, this is the thing. When we operate in obedience, the blessing of the Lord is going to make sure we don't have to beg nobody for nothing. We're going to obtain it. God is going to make sure that we have it. Now, again, y'all, we're looking at this from three aspects. We're looking at it personally. We're looking at it from our family lineage. And then we're looking at it as a culture of people, especially black people. We're looking at it as a cultural thing. Amen. And so because we don't have our 40 acres and a mule, nobody asks the question, why is it that we have not obtained the land that belongs to us? Oh, goodness gracious. Everybody has got their stuff. Everybody has got their land. Amen. And I'm not trying to go off on a tangent and with you know, some people, oh, is he into that? No, I just want us to think as a people. I want us to think as a people and find ourselves in the text. Find yourself in the text. Find us as a text so that we can be free from the bondages that have kept us entrapped over the years. And we're never going to be free until we come face to face with the truth. Amen. This is a spiritual intervention. The Lord wants to have a spiritual intervention with us. We act like we don't have an issue. We act like everything okay, especially as a people. We act like we are right. We got a couple of dollars in our pocket, and we feel like we accepted in this place and that place, and we feel like we've got in good. Amen. But we still live under the curses. Amen. And we have not been released from those curses because we haven't allowed the Lord to break that stuff off of us. Hallelujah. And so then verse 9 says, the Lord will establish you as his holy people. My God, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. So he said, now these particular people, he said, I'm going to make you a holy people. I'm going to make you my people. I'm going to make you a special people. Now, this is what blows my mind, family. What blows my mind is, why is it so hard for us to accept the fact that God said, I want you to be holy. I want you to be a holy people. I've set you separate from everybody else. Now, this is not, again, to have in an exclusive mindset, because Jesus came for all. Hallelujah. But there is a specific people that the Lord wants to speak to. There is a specific people that are still entrapped. There are specific people that are still in bondage. And he said, listen, y'all can't even get the rest of the world free. Y'all can't even show forth my glory to the rest of the world. Hallelujah. They keep their eyes on you. They talk like you. They walk like you. They want to look like you. They dress like you. But you show forth buffoonery. Hallelujah. I want to make you my people, a holy people. But the problem is we're missing in the area of obedience because we want to do everything our way. We want to do it how we want to do it, when we want to do it. We don't want to keep the promise that we made to God right here in the face with Moses. Amen. And then verse 10 says, then all the peoples on the earth will see and that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Wow, my God, somebody ought to get that. Then all the peoples on the earth. Now, come on, y'all. Are y'all getting that this evening? All the people on earth. Now, everybody on this planet wants a piece of you. Now, when they look at us, what do they see? They see buffoonery. They see ignorance. They see low self-esteem. They see all kinds of negativity. He said, if we come back to the place of obedience, my God, then all the peoples on the earth will see. They will see the blessings of the Lord on us. They will see that God's hand is really upon us. Amen. And they will fear us. But I don't believe it's a fear of they think we're going to hurt them, but it's an awe of, wow. God is really, amen, and it does amazing things. God really is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Oh, my God. See, now see, watch this. Oh, my God, this gonna get you right here. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Watch this. First, in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you. So that means these particular people that God is talking about, there is a place that God has pre-sanctioned and promised for them to have. And he said, in that place, you're going to be abundantly prosperous in the fruit of your womb, your children, and those things in which you give birth to creatively are going to be blessed. Those things in which you have to work at are going to be blessed. Those things which are around you, which you rest upon, are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. And there is a place that he said, I'm going to give to you. Hallelujah. Now, I know we look at this from a very spiritual aspect, but what if it was, not but what if, but how would it be, or how much more powerful if we could look at this text from a more natural aspect and say, wow, God, what is it that you promised to my family? What is it that my family was supposed to have? Where is the land we were supposed to have years ago that because of the curse we haven't been able to obtain it? Amen. Because once we get land, we can put property on land and we can build communities. My God, I wish y'all hear me. We can build communities when we have property. Hallelujah. But we have become consumed of so many of the wrong things that we don't even look at what God is saying. God is saying there is a place that I have established for you to build a community, to show forth my glory in the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, this thing is blessing me today. Amen. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. Oh, my God. See, this is the benefit of blessings, that we don't always have to be the consumer. We don't have to be the greatest consumer on the planet. See, that's what I want everybody to think. Why are we the greatest consumers on the planet? Because there is a curse that has been imposed upon us, and we are supposed to be the people who are lending. Amen. But now we are the borrowers. Oh, my God. I wish, Lord Jesus, I hope somebody getting this on tonight. This is about empowering us. Amen. And this is a sticky subject, and a lot of us don't want to talk about it. But listen, we're not going to be able to build a lineage with our children if we don't know the truth about who we are. These children nowadays, you can't just come and just tell them, oh, Jesus saved. Baby, you gotta tell them something else. You gotta get them some meat and potatoes. Hallelujah. We have to do some research and find out. They want to know why Jesus saved, where Jesus came from. I mean, you telling me all about Jesus, if I can live over here and live like a hellion and I can have whatever I want, why would I want your Jesus? Why would I want to praise your Jesus when I can go out here and I can be a whoremonger, I can be a homosexual, I can be a lesbian, I can be a pedophile, I can be a rapist, I can be a racist, I can be a jerk, I can do all of those things and still have money in my pocket? Why would I want your Jesus? So this is why it's imperative to begin to dig into the text and find out the truth about who we are, because that's one thing money can't give your people is identity. Ooh, good God Almighty, I'm preaching tonight. Money can't give your children identity. Come on now, when you teach them the history of the word, that gives them an identity. And once you give somebody an identity, then they know what they are on this planet. And then it gives them direction. It gives them instruction. It shoots them into, it projects them into their purpose. Hallelujah. And that's why so many of us in the body of Christ, we searching around all the time. I'm looking for my purpose. I'm looking for my purpose. We're going to keep looking for our purpose because we have not taken the time to really dig into this text and find out who we are in the text. Because once we find out who we are in the text, we ain't got to look for purpose no more. Purpose is already in us. All we have to do is begin to walk the good walk. Well, fight, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Walk forward. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Press forward, hallelujah, and then we'll begin to see the purpose made manifest, because that's really what Deuteronomy 28 at the beginning, the blessings are really saying, hallelujah. And then it goes on in verse 13, it says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Woo-wee. Now, come on, y'all. We haven't found ourselves culturally. I didn't even get to the curses yet. We haven't found ourselves culturally in this text yet. Yes, I know you found yourself personally. I know you found your personal issues. Yes, great. Check that off. Go back and study it some more and ask the Lord to deliver you. I know you found your ancestral things. Okay, my mama did this. My daddy did this. My grandmama did this. My aunties and my uncles did this. Okay, so now it's time to begin to break the curses that have been imposed upon your family. But now we're pulling all the way back. We're opening up our scope even greater, and we're looking at this over our culture. Okay, God, wait a minute. When I look at this text, it seems to me that the people who this text is speaking of on the opposite end of this spectrum look a lot like me, have the same experiences that I have the same stories that I have. Are you hearing me on tonight? Hallelujah. And then as we finish, glory to God, amen, verse 14 says, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. Following other gods and serving them. That has been the downfall from day one. What? Because we have made the choice to follow other gods. We want to follow the god of mammon. We want to follow Egyptian gods. We want to follow Islamic gods. We want to follow gods of Hinduism. We want to follow gods of all kinds of gods that we've made. We want to follow self-gratifying gods. We want to follow the gods of perversity, the Baal Peor. We want to do all of these things. Amen. And the Lord said, and then we wonder why our culture is so unfortunately in a place of demise. Amen. Because we have missed the mark when it comes to God. And that's a hard pill to swallow, and nobody is going to want to hear that. I don't want to hear that because I'm blessed. Hallelujah. But what about a culture? What about a people? Amen. Because it's not just about me and mine. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus comes back, we're going to be accountable for the lives that we let go by the wayside because we just care about me and mine. Amen. We should be telling the truth to everybody who has an ear to hear. Hallelujah. And this is the key. Everybody's not going to want to hear the truth because we have been indoctrinated to live under the lie. You know, I said this before and I'm going to say it again. We as a culture, as black people, we have the Stockholm Syndrome. The Stockholm was about a young lady, and I think it was Pennsylvania, and she was abducted. And when they let her go and they began to have this discussion with her and have these interviews with her about her abduction, they found that she loved her abductor. that she had an affinity. She was angry with the people who spoke bad about her abductor. And that's how we as a culture are as black people. We have become so indoctrinated into the other culture, into the idol culture, that when we speak or when somebody begins to speak up against the foolishness that we have been indoctrinated in, people will say, Don't you talk bad about my oppressor. Don't you talk bad about my oppressor. No, we have come a long way. Coming a long way is nothing when we can walk in the fullness of the blessing. When Jesus was talking, hallelujah, to the woman, when we were, let's go back to, amen, to Matthew 15, when Jesus was talking to the woman and she said, "Don't I even deserve crumbs from the table?" And when Jesus talking to her was like, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." She was asking for crumbs. Come on here. But we deserve the whole cake, or he came to give us the whole cake. And so why have we become so complacent in our belief that all we can do is be spiritual and speak in tongues, but we don't know the history, and so that we cannot share the history to fully empower people? We have empowered people only to the perspective of getting things, but we haven't empowered people to get wealth. Wealth is having a lineage and being able to show forth and not stop. Amen. And stuff, you can have stuff and wealth, but real wealth comes in information when we begin to inform those who don't know. And so when they inform other people, we develop a rich system of wealth. Hallelujah. And that's the one thing that we are missing is a system of wealth. We got stuff. We rich, but we're not wealthy because we are not informed. And those who have the responsibility of informing us are doing us a disservice because they're not fully giving us the information. I won't personally blame them myself. Maybe they don't know. It took me a little while to start learning some of the things that I'm learning, and I'm still kind of in between and trying to find my way and trying to figure out, decipher, okay, Holy Ghost, what's you, what's not you. But at the end of the day, what I do know is the Lord wants us to be informed. The Lord wants us to walk in real blessings. He wants us to, those curses that have been imposed upon our life, he wants them broken. He wants the curses over our culture to be broken. He wants the curses over us as a people to be broken off, so that we can begin to evolve into the people that God first sanctioned on the planet. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word on tonight. We pray, Father God, that this word does not find a dark place in our heart, but we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that this word finds a fertile place in our hearts, and that this seed is planted, Father, and through your word, through our study, and through prayer, you begin to germinate this word and allow it to spring forth. We pray, Father God, that this word grows up so big in us that we're able to share it with someone else. We pray, Father God, for fearlessness. We pray for boldness to be able to go forth and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in season and out of season. Speak your truth even to those who may not want to hear. We thank you, Father God, for every open door you're going to bring our way, for every opportunity you're going to give us to show forth your truth in this earth. And Father God, we won't get into the place of offense for those who turn us away, but we'll do as you told the disciples to do. We'll just kick the dust off of our feet and keep moving forward, praying that opportunities will be made again to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you on tonight, and we honor you. We honor you for the truth that is in your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you on tonight, you all. I pray that this word blessed you tremendously, because in my studying, it blessed me tremendously. Next week, we're going to look at the curses. Amen. We're going to finish this out on next week, just going over the curses. Amen. And seeing how those are applicable to our culture, how those are applicable to us individually, how they are applicable to us with our family, throughout our generations, and how these things are applicable to us, amen, from the cultural standpoint. Amen. I pray that this word bless you. I pray that you were enlightened by this word. Amen. And I pray that you go and you tell, you share this with somebody else. Listen, I'm going to just encourage you. It's going to be a little rough because people are not ready for to be enlightened. But it's not for us, amen, to hold back the truth. Amen. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. If your job is just to plant, just plant and keep it moving. Amen. And God is going to get the glory in the end. I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I wanted to share again before we got off the line. I wanted to make sure that those who live in the Northeast, those who are living in Richmond and Virginia and up in the Virginia Beach area and up in the New York area, all up and down the East Coast. Amen. If you are experiencing this storm, I want you all to be able to use some common sense. Amen. God will do it. Jesus is a keeper. Jesus is a protector, but he gives us common sense. Amen. Go to the store and get your essentials. Get the things that you need. Get flashlights. Get candles. Get batteries for your flashlight. Go get you some canned goods. Go get some things that, some essential things. Go get you some water. Amen. Go get some things that you need. Amen. So that you can, if anything was to happen, you can have those things in your home. Amen. Again, I want to speak to our single ladies out there. Ladies, please, please, please don't let this storm catch you off guard. Don't let this thing catch you. Go get candles. Go get the things you need. Make sure your phones are charged up. If you need to get to a family member's house, to a friend house, amen. Single women, don't wait all the way till you get to the bearing down in the storm. Don't be proud. Call somebody and go sit with somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't know what could happen. Amen. And we're not saying that things can happen, but life happens. Amen. We had severe snowstorms last year. Y'all remember all of those snowstorms? Many people weren't prepared for that. Amen. These are just essential things that we need in our home just to be prepared. I mean, this is what the Holy Ghost gives us. He gives us common sense, and we're going to use it to be able to be prepared and protect our families in our situations, in these catastrophes or these disasters or whatever they decide to call them. But anyway, family, I enjoyed our Bible study on tonight. I pray that you can join us again on next Thursday at the same time, same number. Amen. And next week, I invite you to join a friend. I mean, invite a friend. Tell somebody else to join in with us. Go back and tell a friend and listen to the broadcast. Amen. Get them enlightened. Amen. Maybe they won't listen, but maybe if you can sneak it in under the broadcast, they may get caught up and end up listening. Amen. Well, anyway, I want to encourage you on today that I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what has happened in your day. I don't know what has happened in your week. I don't know what's going on, but this is what I do know. I do want you to know that no matter what you're going through in life, you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace, family.
Thank you for tuning into Ignite. I pray that something was said on today that has provoked you to seek after God the greater, and that you would make a new commitment to your God-given purpose. We would love to hear your testimonies as to how God is igniting your life. Please contact us at www.ditrministries.com. And be encouraged. Time and pressure perfects God's purpose for our lives. No matter how rough things may seem on the outside, you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace.